I'll tell you this morning, we're going to look at a scripture here. Let's see here. Let me get over here in Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn over there, and we'll turn several places. But I know at the first of the year, as far as myself, I don't know about you, I always take time. We've talked about time many times, like tithing our time, and tomorrow about this time. I remember, you know, that's over, you know, that's what Moses told Pharaoh about one of the plagues that's coming through, you know, and he said, well, tomorrow about this time, because Pharaoh had hardened his heart. And we always, you know, we've talked before about what about our tomorrow about this time? No promise of tomorrow. You remember, this past year, I think about people I've ran into or people I've met or maybe comments people have said. And one really sticks with me, and I can't remember where I heard it from this last year, but how do you know you're not going to have every dime you need in your pocket right now? And I thought about that. In other words, how do you know that you're going to see tomorrow? How do you know? And what he wasn't mentioning is you need to go out and blow all your money. What he wanted, his comment, I believe, was to take time. Consider the day. You know, don't you got to work, you got to keep the lights on, you got to pay your bills, but at the same time, consider the time and the day you're working in. And that stuck with me all year, and I can't remember exactly. It seemed like it was back earlier in the year that comment was made. And so time always comes up, and we think about time, and it's really a period between two eternities. And eternity just continues on. And the time, something we can't pay for, something we can't get back. And so this morning I thought we'd look at a couple of places in Scripture about what we need to take time to do this year, since it is the first day of the year. And it'll all be, I'm sure all of you have read it and all of you know it, but sometimes it's good to get a reminder. Let me be sure to do these things this year as we go through. And in Ecclesiastes, of course, chapter 3, if you could title that chapter anything, and some Bibles do have this. I know I've seen it. They'll say, a time for everything. And that's what you'll see in chapter 3. And we'll read a few verses there here in just a second. But I had went back, and you remember, if you recall, I think I did this last year, maybe the year before. I pulled from the early 80s from a bulletin of here at Bible Way Church, and what they would have said, that this would have been, let me look here and see. I'm going to count on my fingers. You're going to say, I can't believe he does it. No, I'll count my head. I can do it without it. Let's see. That's going to be 1, 2, 3. That's going to be over 3 decades, almost 4 decades ago. And so the Bible verse they had for the day was, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And so whoever did the bulletin that day, and I can show it to you, and you can tell it was back when everything was done with a typewriter, and then just copies were made. And so it was advice again, and I had looked, and I thought, well, maybe this would be okay for Sunday school this morning. I prayed about it and said, it helps me to think about keeping our year in focus. And let me say this too. It's not always that you cut off or stop doing something on December 31st and January 1st. It's all of a sudden, you know, you turn a light on, so to speak. You know, like I love chocolate cake on December 31st. I probably still like it on January 1st. It's not like all of a sudden I don't. But a lot of times we look at the start of a new year as a beginning point or whatever. And that's what I think we see here. And I found this when I was digging through the files, because I always like to try to find one after that, and it just fit. So here's a few things from 36 years ago, 37 years ago, Bible Way Church. And they put the comments, these are excuses for the upcoming year. I'm not going to work as hard in church this year as I did last year. And then they'd have scripture to counter that. And they'd say, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Someone else can do it better than I. Then Peter, turning about, seeth John, and saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? So let me continue on. I won't read them all, but I just thought it was that 36, 37 years ago, similar to what we're still today. What advice can we follow, or what do we need to keep in our minds? I'm not qualified for the job at church. I'm not educated at all. I can't talk before people. Then the response from Scripture would have been, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I have too many other community activities. Sounds like they're overcharged to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's our whole duty. I've been working too hard this week. I need to rest a while. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And that's from Luke. I don't like the preacher. I don't like any of the church leaders, Sunday school teachers, anything. Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Someone criticized me. I'm not coming back to church. Not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, the goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. And I got one more here, and I kind of went through them. Here's the last one here for the year. I guess that would have been, 1983? I must spend more time with my family. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that's from Matthew chapter 10. God has a right to be a definite part of your time. He has the power to take all of it. And that's from 37. I know. I think I did that last year and the year before. I try to go back and pull something from the Bible Way files, so to speak. And that just fit. And it's always amazes me how the Lord puts that thing, you know, you're thinking one thing, and that's happened to all of you too. You're thinking one thing, praying about something, and it fits. And I pulled that out, the old Bible Way bulletin from years ago, and it kind of went along with what we were going to talk about today. But again, it won't be before you long, and just talk a little bit about time. And I had, somebody had asked me, oh, if we have time, we will. Probably, I don't know, it's been a month ago. They said, hey, do you have that diary of the Bible and have a copy of it? And I told them I did, and I brought it just in case we have time. We'll run back through it just for the months of the year. But if we don't, that's fine. And I made a copy for the person so they'll have it to look at. But chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, just look at a few places here. Then we'll move on through the Bible and we'll be done this morning and have time to kind of fellowship on the first of the year. Verse number 1, so chapter 3, Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. You know, we've seen that here even at the church this year, past year 2016. You know, and I know sometimes it's hard. It's hard on families, hard on church, hard on lose friends, lose loved ones. But those times are there. You know, I think about that as each, and I'm sure you do too, all of us have an appointed time to die. And, you know, just like the appointed time to be born. There'll be babies born again this year, as long as the Lord keeps things going. And there'll probably be babies born today. You know, always first of the year, they'll always put that baby in the paper. In 2 or 3 days, you'll see first baby born, 2017. And then they always give them like a year's supply of diapers or whatever. You know, you see that. So those times are there. There's nothing we can do about that. Time's continued on. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant. Before you know it, there will be a time to plant. Spring will be here. We'll all be looking for Brother Wayne's tomatoes and all his peppers that he gives away in the summer. And it'll be a time for that. You know, I told the kids, my dad used to say this. His birthday was December, would have been December 22nd. He'd have been 77, 78, I guess, 78. And he always used to tell us, and he'd tell my brother and I, he'd say, now, boys, we'd get to Christmas. And he said, you're downhill to spring after that. And I never really understood what he was talking about, but the 21st would be the shortest day of the year, so as far as daylight hours. So after that, you start gaining again. And I remember he'd always say that, and every time I'd read that in Scripture, a time to plant, I'd think about that, because Dad'd get ready for the garden or get ready to go outside. He wouldn't do that in January, of course. But he knew that the days would gradually be getting longer. In other words, you put the shortened winter days behind you. Even though you had the majority of winter to go through, it's a different time. Time was changing. Days were getting longer. So a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. In other words, there's a time to harvest. There's a time to reap. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, I think about that. Everybody's different. You know, you think about even, we've had, you know, several funerals here this year, and everybody's different as they approach that. There's some that they don't exactly what to say. There's some that really don't know what to say other than, you know, I'm praying for you, be there for you. There's some that don't have to say anything because they know they've been there as well. There's a time to give a hug and a time not. And, you know, you think about that, and we're the older, I guess, and I say that, the older Sunday school class. We have a lot of experience in life and death I guess events happening to us. But you look back, and a lot of our here at church, a lot of our younger couples, especially our teens and our children, they haven't had that. And that's a time to show them that there are time for these things. And I think that's why in Ecclesiastes, think about this again, and it's always been my thought, and I've shared this with you before. Proverbs was written by a younger Solomon. He was a man who had a lot of wisdom, and he'd give you day-to-day instruction. You follow these things, you know, tell children of Israel, and you'll be successful in the day. Or it's just good instruction to keep you out of trouble, so to speak. Ecclesiastes is an older man. I picture that's like, you know, you're wise as you're younger, and I'm pointing to myself too, as younger men and women, we'd be wise to sit and listen to the older men and women. And I think that's here what you hear in Ecclesiastes. I think that's what he's pointing out. Keep these things in mind. There's a time for all these things. And if you'll notice, there's one thing here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, organization. Church has got a, you know, I'm not going to say that not the service when the pastor's preaching. That's up to what the Holy Spirit and the way he works in the service and the pastor. But I'm talking about as far as the church or some organization too. You know, we have a start time and not necessarily we got to stop at this time. But, you know, we got to have a time to start and Sunday school is to start and stop at these periods of time, etc. But if you'll notice the organization there too for time. And as you'll look between verses number 1 and I think it's down to verse number maybe 10 or 11, it's a set in order. If you'll notice to everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, that's like an umbrella. It's like an umbrella approach. In other words, it's all under heaven. It's like, who's that? One insurance company shows that advertisement of an umbrella and you put everything underneath it and it protects you from the rain. They've had that advertisement before. I know it's not the Good Hands people, Allstate, but it's somebody that's done that before. And he said, if you'll notice the verse number 2, it says a time to be born. So that's how you start out. And so think about that too. And again, we're an older class and we've been around. We've had some experiences in life. But if we would heed to take time to listen to what Solomon had to say, and we have as we read, because this was an older gentleman. As you get on in Ecclesiastes, you'll see what all he's experienced. He's looking back through time. And that's why I think you see that early in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's finish just a couple more verses. And then I got like 5 or 6 places through the scripture that we'll look at what God tells us, maybe good advice going back to what we'd seen 36, 37 years ago here in the bulletin. Maybe what we'll go back and look at. There's a time to pray. There's a time to study. There's a time to go to church, etc. So let's finish up here. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Let's get back to verse number 6. A time to get, or to gain. A time to lose. A time to keep. A time to cast away. A time to rend. In other words, tear apart. There's also a time to sew, or to put together. And I think when here, that's not only with clothing, that's with our lives too, or to break apart, or to come apart, but a time to mend as well. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. But also as you read through this, and I've heard preached from before, that as it goes through, and I think it was Darius Horn actually, that said each one of these mentions that not only a time to weep, time to laugh, etc., time to get, time to lose, but everything in life that as far as that we could actually do in life. And as it says, as you could hate, you could love. There's a time to war. There's a time to battle. There's a time to... In other words, it encompasses an entire man or woman's life. In other words, as far as feelings, what a time for. In other words, as you go through each day, you could find yourself in one of these verses. Number 9, what profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. In other words, to be occupied or to occupy time in any of these, I guess, 7 or 8 verses. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, God set the timetable in motion, and it will continue in motion. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't add an hour to the day. We can't take an hour away. Let's look here in Scripture, a few places here to go back to that, and that I think, referring to the first 11 verses that we can find over in the New Testament to give us some good advice. And I'll turn to these places, and you can turn, and we can read a lot of them. You'll know yourself, and you won't need to do that. But let's go over to, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians this morning, just real quick. And let's go chapter number 5. And again, I can read it to you. It's just verses here. But if you'll look and run the reference, they go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you'll all know this, verse number 17. But we'll read 15 and 16 and 17. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. See, this is again, you think about, take time. And I wrote it here on my paper there, and I just made a few little notes as I went and verses, and that way we could move on through, and I wouldn't hold you too long searching. But when I wrote the take time out, I drew a line, and really like a blank. And in that blank, you could put anything. Take time for my family. Take time for, days off. Take time to pray. Take time. And that's what we're filling in there. Take time for what? Because you have to take it, because as we just saw in Ecclesiastes, and as we've told in verse number 11, God sent this in motion. And there's nothing we can do about it. And we shouldn't be saddened by that, especially if you're saved, because you know that there's a day coming when we're going to be out of here. The church is going to be gone. We're going to be taken home. We're no longer going to be nomads. We're no longer going to be wandering around. And I say that because you think about Abraham and the nomads, and, he looking for a city. And we're pilgrims and strangers here, is what we're told. But while we're here, what do we take time for? So let's look here and see. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Here we go. Verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. In other words, take time for these things. Take time in 2017. We go back and we mentioned that being overcharged. And the way you get overcharged is you get away from the things that are important. You do. And I've seen that. I can go back and tell you. We'll move on. I can tell you that some other time. We won't. If you've been to a point in your life where you've had bad news or something happened suddenly, you know what I'm talking about. Not the first thing that goes through your mind. You're upset, or you may wonder what's going to happen to mom or dad, or because if you hear news about them, or maybe it's yourself or a family member or something. But how many times do you set back after it's kind of settled in and you wonder, why didn't I take time for this? Why didn't I take time for that? And the only way you know that is now. And I think that's what Solomon in Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. There's time for everything. God set it in motion. You just got to take the time to do it. So let's continue on. You got time to pray. And he said, as we look here, and you guys can stay with me, go over to, I tried to put these so we'll be close together so you guys could find them if you wanted to turn. If you didn't, that way I could find them. I tell you, you get up here sometimes and you start looking, you go the opposite way. I'll be over in the Old Testament before long trying to look for 1 Peter. And this is 1 Peter chapter 2. So we looked at take time, filled in the blank, to pray. Take time to rejoice. Take time not to quench the spirit. In other words, be part of the service. Don't let your mind wander. Sometimes that's easy to do. I told you I would never, ever, ever reveal his name. But it's something that happened to me before, too. But I'll never forget a young man walking out of the service, and he said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah, you can ask me anything." He said, "Did your mind ever wander off on what you're going to have for lunch during the preaching?" And I kind of looked at him. I kind of got tickled at first. And I kind of laughed, and he wasn't laughing. He said, "No." He said, "I feel bad about that." He said, "I want to stay focused on the service. I want to stay focused on what the Lord's coming, what the preacher's saying, and what the Lord have us to do." And he said, "I'll find my mind wandering off to like, well, I wonder if we're going to go here today." And he said, "I have to fight that." And I said, "Yeah, I have that too." I said, "We all do." And he just felt like so relieved. He said, "Oh," he said, "I thought something was wrong with me." He said, "It's not that I sat there the whole time and imagined myself in the drive-thru." But he said, "It just pops in my head." And I said, "Yeah," and I would never, ever tell his name. And that's been several years ago, so that way there's no way you can try to figure out who it is. But I said, "Yes, that happens to all of us." So there's a time for these things. So a time to read the Bible, and that's what I'll find here in 1 Peter. Peter says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." There's time to read, time to study, time to pray. Let's look in Hebrews, if you would, chapter 10. Oh, I told you, I go the wrong way sometimes. Here we go. I get up here and you think you know it, and you go then. I believe it's verse number 24 or 5, because all I wrote was Hebrews. Verse number 24, chapter 10, or 25, I'm sorry, but we'll read 24. I've already mentioned that. It said, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So think about each other. But what's Hebrews tell us about? It said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves." In other words, it's a time to go to church. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." So it's not only a time to pray, a time to read the Bible, and a time to go to church. And I have to tell you what, as we look here, and I'll move on, I know my time's getting short. I looked over at Brother Ralph and I thought of one, and let me find it here. I see here is a time, let me find it. And Solomon's already mentioned it in Ecclesiastes. Oh, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things under God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." In other words, submitting yourselves to God in the fear of God, but there's a time to sing. There's a time to rejoice. And what I can see there, it's not always in the choir. You know, I remember Brother Merv, and Brother Merv's here today. I remember he used to tell us, and he'd sing going down the road. And I've always thought Brother Merv had a beautiful voice. And I thought, well, I bet people around him think, well, where's that baritone, that bass voice coming from? He said he'd sing in his truck. And I remember I just started going to church here, and he'd mention that. And we were working out here one time on the bank out here. And I remember that's been a long time ago. And I remember him going down the road, drove past us, and he was singing. And I could hear him. And I thought, well, if I did that, people would have their windows going up and close up. Said, well, call the cops, 911. But there's a time to sing. There's a time to rejoice. I know around the house sometimes, and I know the kids probably put their fingers in their ear. I'll find myself singing an old gospel hymn or something while I'm washing the dishes. I don't know if some of you men may have to do that. That's on my assignment list, to make sure the dishes stay washed. And sometimes I delegate that out to others. But I'll get caught in a tune or singing, and sometimes Maggie, she'll pick up and do the same thing. And you know, and that's one of the, I don't know, to me, that's one of the best ways in working. I know other men that work outside and work a lot of times, construction and different things, they'll pick up a gospel hymn or song as well, and they'll at least hum it or sing it as they go. And that's one of the best ways, I think, to rejoice or to spread that around to others. There's nothing more peaceful about that than hearing someone praise God or have a song on their heart, so to speak, as we're seeing here in Ephesians. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. And then we'll just look at a couple more places, and we'll be right out of the way. Since we're in Ephesians, and we'll flip over to Philippians, if you would. And Philippians, let's see here, 4. And let's see, you all know what this one is, too. Let me find myself. Like I said, I just wrote verse number 7 and 8. Yeah, and I've got it marked here. I remember Brother John, I mentioned this before, preached a message on this. Might have been a Sunday night one time. I can't remember. But it's always stuck with me, and I know I'd heard it before, but just the way he preached it and brought it out on the way our minds control us and what we think is important. So as I was jotting down through here, and the Lord brought that back to my remembrance, and I only said a time to pray, a time to read the Bible, time to go to church, time to sing praise and hymns. You may be like Brother Merv, and you sing in church or in your truck, and it sounds good. And Brother Ralph leads the choir, and he sings. And he told us about him after he got saved, that Christmas play, that program, and he started singing these men that kept him out of trouble. Or maybe you have to sing when you're washing the dishes like I do and everybody leaves the house, but still we got time to sing, time to praise God. A time to meditate, a time to think. That's what we look at in the Philippians. And I thought about that, and goes back to Brother John's message that night. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember he really focused on that. But verse number 8, a lot of times, I'll admit to you guys, during the day, I have to go back and recite this verse because something to get in my mind. So I got to get that out of there. Why am I thinking on this? Or I can't dwell on this. I got to get out of here. And I'm going to tell you, it always, always helps me. Let me read it. Finally, that's the end. That's what I'm saying. Finally, this is the bottom line. I know sometimes I'll ask the students that, what's the bottom line? I don't want to hear anything. What's the bottom line? That's what we're being told here as far as our mind or thinking. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, this is where you need to be meditating. This is where your mind and your thoughts need to be. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But back to that verse number 8. Think on these things. Remember over in Ecclesiastes, that's what Solomon said. He says, to everything there's time. Keep that in mind. And last but not least, we'll go back to the Old Testament. Go back to Proverbs. And you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. So we talk about a time to pray, time to read the Bible, time to go to church, is a time for everything in life. Time to rejoice, a time to sing, a time to meditate, time to think among the things of God. And as we come up through this upcoming year, as we read back from 1983, he said, God has a right to be a definite part of your time. He has the power to take all of it. And last but not least, in Proverbs, as I think we try to do here at Bible Way, and let me find it here. I didn't think I'd have any trouble because I like this, and it always makes me think, too, of Mr. Grizzle when I read this, and I've seen it, and I worked for a man that Mr. Grizzle reminds me a lot of when I was in Murfreesboro. And his name was Mr. Messick. And he's actually the man that got me started, I guess, in working. And I knocked everything out of his hands when he was walking down the street. And I said, picked it all up and gave it back to him. And he hired me anyway. And he did. I couldn't believe that. His son, he said, we don't need you. And he called me back and he'd hired me. And he said, that's because I said, yes, sir, no, sir. And even then, that was in the 80s, 84, 85. He said, well, that's just hard to find. And I think, boy, how have we changed even from then to now? He hired me just based upon me saying, yes, sir, no, sir, respect. That was in the 80s. Because I'd come out of the door so fast, I'd knocked all the boxes out of his hands, and I helped him pick it all up and had no idea who he was. He was the owner of this little pharmacy in Murfreesboro on the square. His son was in there working. He said, no, I don't think, I guess it's something about me he didn't like. So he said, no, we don't need anybody. By the time I got back to my dorm, the father had called and said, yeah, we can use you one day a week, 2 hours a day. Put me right up front. Greeting people as they came in. That was way before Walmart had greeters. Had this little stand there and sold chewing gum and stuff, and that's where he had me working. Within a month, I was working as many hours as I wanted. He just wanted to try me out, I guess. But what I'm getting to is this verse. He had this verse on a plaque behind him. He was a deacon in a small Baptist church there in Murfreesboro, and he had this on a plaque behind him. And a lot of times I think about Mr. Grizzle, too, when I read this. And as I read it, you'll see why. Think about the profession that they both were in, but also just how they live as well. Said he that, let's see, verse number 22, Proverbs 17, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And I'll end with that. So keep that in mind for this upcoming year, 2017. There's a time for everything. And there's so many other things, as Solomon pointed out, that we could dig into, and I don't have the... I can't pull all that out. I don't know. The scripture is so deep. You just keep digging. There's so much there. But take these few things that we've able to pull from Ecclesiastes and keep in mind for this 2017. There's a time for these things. And again, there's an order. There's a structure to our lives. It should be, just like there's an order and structure to the church. And as I said, not in the preaching. That's Holy Spirit directed to what the preacher, the man of God, would preach. But we have a Sunday school time. We have a time for our toddlers in the back. We have a time for our Christmas program. We have a time for vacation Bible school. Your lives should be the same. Thank you for your attention this morning, and again, Happy New Year.